Hi everyone, I'm Feifei Liao. My pronouns are she and her. I'm your host of the Voices of Us podcast, bringing you authentic stories from queer international students, alumni, and friends and families of the queer community. Today, we have two guests, Hui and Cameron. They will share their journeys of exploring their queer identity and transitions. What does transition mean? What's the cause? And how does it have an impact in our self-awareness, confidence, or relationship with others? Let's unpack it a bit more with our guest. Hi Hui, great having you here. Can you share a bit about yourself with our listeners?
Hi everyone, my name is Hui. I identify as gay. My pronouns are he, him. I'm a teacher, so I work with children from the age of 0 to 5. At the moment, I'm doing psychology. Hopefully, I can get into research after I finish.
Thank you. Nice having you here. Hi, Cameron. Great having you here as well. Can you share a bit about yourself with our listeners too?
Hello, I'm Cameron. My pronouns are she, her, and I identify as bisexual, and I am a dancer.
Wow, amazing. Great having you here with us today. It's very exciting to have a chat with both of you. And first of all, I would like to know what three words come into your mind when you hear LGBTQIA+ or queer international students? Hui, would you like to share?
The three words that came to my mind were fear, opportunities, and escape, not in any particular order.
And why are those words? How do you relate to them?
Well, I can't speak for all international students. From my experience, being an international student means that you leave your home country and you go into a different country. So to me, that was my escape plan. I had to sort of run away from my home country. And I came to Australia when I was 17, and Australia was part of my escape plan, where I could potentially express myself and explore my sexuality a bit further. And so with that, there's opportunities, because yeah, there's potential, there's opportunities to be exposed to, you know, more acceptance, more validation of my sexuality. You know, there's more open-minded people, more boys to experiment with. Yeah, but also with opportunities comes the fear and the uncertainty around, would there be any consequences if I explore my sexuality? Is it wrong to do this? And like, you know, the shame attached to leaving my home country and feel like I'm abandoning my country of origin and like starting over here, and, you know, it's all really stigmatized and there's a lot of shame around that.
Yeah, I resonate with some of that as well, coming from another country. And I think it also depends on whether you realized you were gay before you came to Australia. Yeah, I'd like to unpack that a little bit more later on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what about you, Cameron?
Yeah, so when I think of like my three words, I think of like liberation, expression, but also, yeah, fear, because it takes a lot of bravery to be able to kind of really understand who you are and try to figure that out, even though there's so much confusion and a lot of voices. Especially, I think for me, being in the dance scene, seeing a lot of dance forms come from the gay queer community has really made me associate these communities with liberation, because out of the oppression of these identities, so much beauty has also come out of it through art forms, and that's also where expression comes from. But also acknowledging that there is so much fear, not only within the community, but other people in response as well.
Both of you mentioned about fears, so I would like to unpack a bit about what's within that fears. And what I hear is that there are some similarities and also different because of different experiences as well. So Hui, for you, What is within that fear and what caused it?
I don't remember having any fear before coming to Australia. It all happened so fast, actually, because I was in Vietnam in my bedroom and mom just walked in and said, "You're going to Australia." And that's how it happened. And I was really excited about it, actually, because I thought, this is my chance. And I think I just thought, I'm not coming back home. But when I got here, I was only 17. And it was quite confronting because I was just exposed to all of these opportunities and different worldviews on being gay and stuff. And so I remember thinking, you have to grow up fast. You have to work this out, like right now. So there was a bit of pressure to grow out of my closet and to really learn more about myself, work it out, figure it out. What are you? And also because there was a lot of punishment, air quotes, back home whenever I tried to express myself. So I was scared to even try things like talking to boys on the internet, something like that, little things like that.
So it seems you were aware of your sexuality back home. So how did you come to realize that you are gay, or how did it come to that exploration?
I think subconsciously I was aware of my sexuality when I was around 4 or 5. So very early age, I knew I was different. Just a little story. I was 5 and mom was working as a seamstress at the time. So I was obsessed with princesses and Little Mermaid in particular and Sailor Moon. So one day I just wanted to be a princess. So I stole a piece of fabric from mom and made a skirt, and I got into big trouble for that. I remember bawling my eyes out because dad was yelling at me like, boys don't wear skirts, you're supposed to do this girly stuff, you don't do sewing and stuff. So I was already aware of my need to express myself differently to how other boys express themselves. I didn't know what being gay was. I didn't really have that language to talk about my sexuality. I just knew that I was different. And then when I started school, I got bullied by my peers because I was so different. I was talking about Sailor Moon and stuff like that, and they would just say, boys don't like Sailor Moon. And because I was so different, I feel like part of me, that sexuality just manifested itself, and I couldn't control that. So yeah, it brought to my attention that I was different. So in a way, I had to sit with that and fight with it at the same time. I had to sit with myself being like, yes, you are different, but at the same time, you can't be different, if that makes sense. So it was a constant battle for a really long time. So I feel like coming to Australia was the chance for me to finally work it out.
So what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of being different, or are you afraid of being yourself?
I guess at the time, maybe a bit of both, because I was afraid to be myself and that self is different. And look, I was 12, I was 13, I didn't know any better. So whenever I tried to express myself, I got bullied. I remember walking around the school and friends and teachers would just comment on the way I walked, my high-pitched voice, my hobbies, my handwriting, the subject I was good at, like pretty much everything. So all of that punishment sort of reinforced the idea like, you are not allowed to be different, no matter what kind of different you are. Yeah, in a way, I was influenced by society to be scared and put myself in a closet.
Yeah, I think everyone is saying, you know, everyone is unique.
Mm.
Everyone is actually different. But what caused that fear sounds to me, it is the bullying. It is the violence towards you that make you afraid. And what about you, Cameron? What is your community is like? What are you afraid of? Because you mentioned about both liberation and fears.
I think for me, there's been like a different, definitely different experiences with almost like the understanding and acceptance of my sexuality. I am not like fully, I don't feel the need to announce it, but I also feel that sometimes that poses fear in two ways. So within, I feel culturally and within like family circles, I'm still quite fearful of like the consequences that might come up revealing this aspect of my identity. But also there are certain ways which I don't feel confident enough to put myself out there. For example, I don't like, for example, pride and things like that. I still am quite timid in how I express and choose to express my identity. And I think there's also been some kind of divisions about being bisexual, and there's also like kind of presence of biphobia, which is a very multi-layered issue, because I guess you can, it's kind of being in between two communities and not really being accepted in either. And I feel sometimes fearful from kind of both sides and both communities, because I don't feel like I fully understand myself, and because I also feel like people don't understand me, but I'm not at a place where I can help them understand that yet. Yeah, for me, the fear aspect, I can pinpoint it less so, but I think there are a lot of attitudes changing, especially within like the LGBTQIA+ community towards like bisexuality, but also within the support circles and people I know have become more open. Yeah.
And when you mention about two communities, what are the two communities and what is the cultural identity that you identify with or relate to?
I'm Chinese. And I would say like the two communities, I would just, I mean, it's not, probably not a simple division, but for now, like the LGBTQIA+ community and also like my like Chinese cultural community or Chinese Australian community, those two communities.
Like, when did you realize you are bi, or how did you come with that conclusion?
I think it was kind of in the later years of primary school. I just remember having a very high difficulty of differentiating between my friendships and having romantic feelings. And I felt with a lot of my friendships, they went into areas where maybe friendship or like the bond that I had with someone was perhaps deeper in a way that I didn't quite understand. And a lot of my friends couldn't relate to. But at the time, I also thought everyone experienced this to an extent, until I realized that that wasn't the case. So I kind of put that on the back burner. And then when I entered high school, I was lucky to be in an environment where people were very open and accepting of diverse expressions of gender and sexuality, especially among faculty and among like the friends that I had at the time, that helped me understand who I was and helped me create a stronger bond as well. And I think it was kind of around that time where I realized that my feelings were valid, but also there's some more like soul searching and digging that's needed to be done.
You mentioned about when you meet people who are more open-minded, at high school, right? And you started to open the conversations. What was that situation was like for you, and who opened it up? Because and also for Hui, later on would like to also hear from you. Did you have an opportunity to have the conversations with other people, and what opened you up to explore as well?
I think it's quite commonplace in high school to have like gossip about who your crush is and things like that. But then what was different at that point was there was no kind of taboo or differentiation between genders. Like, everybody kind of treated if you had a crush on a girl, if you had a crush on a boy, if you had a crush on like anyone, that was fine. It's on the table, and the reaction and acceptance to that kind of gossip was almost the exact same. And that made me really comfortable to not only engage in these situations and these discussions, but to really use them to help understand myself. And it helped me also reevaluate some of the previous views that I held, because I feel in primary school, kind of, I guess when you're surrounded in quite a traditional religious and cultural environment, I definitely grew up with some kind of programmed homophobic views, and I did internalize that. And then going into an environment where these conversations were much more open, I could really begin to reflect on why it was that I held those views and how it has affected me.
For Hui, what about you?
Coming to Australia, I was alone in my journey. I feel like I was alone for a really long time, actually, even before I came to Australia, because I didn't really have anyone to talk to about how I was different to other people, other boys. Actually, when Cameron was saying that she couldn't distinguish between friendship and romantic feelings, I had similar experience, but in a way that was like, I didn't have any romantic feelings towards my girlfriends. So I was just thinking, am I meant to like this girlfriend? How come I don't have any romantic feelings for her? So I was like, I'm different. Like, I don't have any romantic feelings for her. So that kind of differences, like, I didn't have anyone to talk to. And because of the bullying experience, every time I tried to express myself, I would get punished. So I kept it to myself. So for the longest time, I was my safe space. So when I was in Australia, I just had myself. I didn't really talk to anyone. So the only way to explore my sexuality was to get on the good old dating app Grindr. We guys have all been there. So I just started talking to boys on the internet, but I would get really scared. I would go into denial and delete the app. And I protected myself. I was completely anonymous. I didn't show my face. I didn't meet anyone. I would just talk to a couple of boys and then delete the app. I would keep doing that for a few years. And then it became very clear to me that I enjoy the attention from boys. I didn't necessarily develop any romantic feelings for them, but it was more like, this is pretty fun, talking and flirting with boys. I kind of enjoy doing this. So that was when I was thinking, maybe you need to find concrete evidence that you are actually gay. Because up until that point, I was just thinking, I don't know what I am. I don't know why I'm different. So yeah, until I started talking to other people and putting myself out there, I just thought, maybe this time I have a direction, as in like how I can arrive at that answer.
So when you mention talk to other people, how do you have the conversation with them?
Like the romantic things that, you know, kids do in school. I didn't have any of that. So when I started talking to other people on the internet, I realized, oh, so this is what they talked about in school. The kind of conversation, you know, getting to know other people, and people show interest in me and talk to me. So this is what they did back in school. So this is what romantic feelings, you know, oh, not feelings, but like flirting, you know, what this is what people do before they start a relationship. But this is what the dating scene is like. So that's when I actually wrapped my head around, oh, okay, this is what gay people do in the dating scene. And I was like 18, 19 at the time.
What about in the real life, did you communicate with other people and open up the conversations, or anyone approach you in real life?
Not at all. Even my best friends, I didn't even say anything. We never talked about relationships. I would listen to them talking about their relationships and giving advice, but I wouldn't share what I do with them. I guess it was because of the shame. And I don't think they were ready to hear that. Even though they all acted like I already knew I was gay. Like, and they treated me as if I was an openly gay kid. And I was sort of okay with that because I just thought, well, that's what they think. Like, it doesn't matter to me. That's not what how I think about myself. But yeah, in reality, I didn't talk to anyone for the longest time. I only had myself.
And why didn't you think they were ready to open who you are, even you felt that they knew you were gay? You still didn't feel ready. So what was stopping you from having that conversation?
Like, the main thing is the friends was the bullying. I remember one story, actually, now that we're talking about this. One time, a friend of mine got bullied because she was supporting me. Yeah, that kid actually came to me and said, if I see her supporting you, she'll get beat up, like, big time after school. So don't you dare, you know, talk to her or something like that. So I was scared to express myself and get support from other people. And also family background, like attachment theory, and I'm thinking about it. If you have a good and secure attachment with your family, like, you're more inclined to express yourself a bit more. So I feel like I didn't really develop that with my family because growing up, I wasn't allowed to do whatever I liked. Like, I wasn't allowed to wear a skirt if I wanted to. I wasn't allowed to learn how to draw. I wanted to take, you know, to learn how to draw properly, but mum and dad was to say no. Everything I wanted to try, the answer was no. So I feel like the society just kept saying no to me. So I was like shut down. And I feel like there's nothing out there to support me. So I have to be that person for me, which was good at the time, but it did a lot of damage along the way.
And you mentioned about the family relationship and the support wasn't really there. And for Cameron, you also mentioned about not ready to open to your family. So do you know what perspectives in your family hold?
I think my family is still working towards understanding. I think they are evolving in their perspectives towards it, and like feel like I've been lucky to really see their views change recently by kind of being able to relate to some of the experiences and reflect on how the experiences have differed. Like, for example, like I remember talking and having this conversation where like one of my parents reflected on the fact that they tried to see if they had any romantic feelings for a very close friend that they still have, and they came to a conclusion that they've never felt that way. And for me, that's already a huge step in getting just a bit closer to acceptance and understanding, because at least you're trying to relate it to an experience that's familiar to you. But as with everything, I think it just needs to take a lot of time. Yeah, I think that's where my experiences are at.
And how did your parents start to explore those topics? Like, did you have conversations with them, or did you give some hints?
I think they knew a little bit. They could sense that I wasn't fully being transparent, and they could also sense that maybe some of the friendships I had were beyond what they would feel was kind of like the normal boundaries of a friendship, just in terms of like how attached or like how emotionally invested I was. And I think that started a lot of kind of hints and conversations that kind of scooted around the topic, but we all knew that the central topic was of this. But I think since then we haven't really like sat down, really confronted what like their perspectives and the issue is head on.
But they do share their perspectives with you?
Yes, in the past, but I think recently it hasn't been kind of at the forefront of topics. So less common recently.
And do you think is that because everyone is trying to avoid talking about it, or just quietly accepting it and exploring?
I think it is they're having their time of processing it. And I think although it is a bit avoided, like politics at the dinner table kind of vibes, but at the same time, I think it's also about creating an environment where both parties have enough time to kind of sit with the idea before really discussing it thoroughly. Because I think like a lot of like the trauma and the like fear comes from having discussions where it's really premature, no one's really ready for it, and no one has any understanding almost of what they're trying to talk or like their views on it. So I think it is a bit avoided, but at the same time I feel I see changes and I see progress, but it is happening slowly.
Were you happy about the progress that you're...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And do you feel there's enough support from your family, friends? And what about the support within yourself?
Like, I feel I'm a bit of like a workaholic. I try not to think too much about like relationships, like, or like all of this. And I think that it is something that I need to kind of sit with and think about. But another thing kind of which relates to what Hui said was I don't know like how to go about exploring my identity, because like I'm not very active in the community. I'm not very like I don't really publicly present or like really show my support. Like I do so behind the scenes, but I'm definitely not ready to be fully out and proud. At this stage, I don't always know how to go about exploring and advancing, I guess, on this journey of connecting with my identity. And then there's also a bit of like imposter syndrome, I think, especially with like bisexuality, is that like it's implied that you have a choice of just not, and people would be fine by that, or perhaps it would be easier for you. So it is like right now having a heterosexual relationship is very accessible for me, but then like being able to really connect with who I am authentically is not as easy, and not as like I don't really know even where to start. And even with, like, if you think of dating apps and platforms, there's less platforms that are specifically for, like, lesbian or, like, bisexual. And I think a lot of those identities are also, like, hidden as well. So I think being able to really, I have no idea where to really, or how to go about exploring it. And that is something that I'm still figuring out for myself.
I think it's interesting both of you mentioned about how to explore, and, you know, apart from the apps, and what is actually missing in our community, what is actually missing from our social circles. And both of you mentioned about you being, you know, Cameron, you being workaholic, and we have been diving into the studying, trying to be the best student. And some people, they think, oh, you know, work, my career is the priority at the moment. But if we reflect and think a little bit deeper, is that because we just love work and study so much, or it's just a relatively easier way to get away from who am I and what do we go from here? So I'll leave it actually open for both of you to think a little bit and share.
When Cameron was talking about relationship, and it made me think about my journey. I started with not necessarily trying to find a relationship, but more like, but like along that line. So I'm just thinking, why do we have to start from, you know, finding a relationship? Is it actually the starting point of our sexual identities, or is it what society defines our sexual identities? It's like, you know, people always say gay people, you know, gay boys love boys. You start there, you know, fire boy. And like bisexual people, yeah, they have their own definition. So we hear a lot of that. So I feel like we just internalize that. And we're just thinking, this is our starting point.
Yeah, I want to be kind of myself first and foremost. And then kind of sexuality and things are like layers to my identity. But it doesn't take precedence over who you are.
I have to say, I only started to express myself a bit more openly in the past 3-4 years.
How did you gain that confidence?
Like being in a relationship with my partner is one, but also being surrounded by really open-minded people, like my friends and the people I work with. I never had any weird looks when I said, I have a male partner. Or when I want to try girls' shoes, air quotes, they would say, they would look so good on you. Maybe you should try, you know, shoes with platforms or heels or something like that. They would actually encourage me to explore more and try different things to present myself. So I have that constant encouragement. So I think that's how I've really come out of my shell. In recent years, I've become much more secure in myself.
And do you say that you don't have a fears anymore?
I do have a fear. It's still here with me. It's not bad. It's not something that I need to get rid of. Like, I'm at peace with it. I just feel like it's part of me now. And that's just maybe who I am. And I accept that. That mindset is really liberating. Because, like, I can be fearful of who I am, but also be proud of it. I'm really conscious of the way I think these days, just to try to like be myself a bit more and like not cause trauma to myself in the way, yeah, in the process.
Yeah, thank you. That's a beautiful sharing, and yeah, glad you find your strength.
Yes.
Yeah, and confidence in yourself. What about you?
I think for me, definitely having a wider definition of just not only how I present my gender, but also a wider definition of what someone as part of the community looks like. I think those two things are kind of interconnected, because being able to acknowledge that people can be part of the queer or LGBTQIA+ community, but kind of not, air quotes, look like they're part of it, is really, I feel like it's very important, because first of all, people can express themselves in any way, but don't put pressure on them to announce or have to stand out in a certain way. Because I guess, like, as part of the community, we are not owed a definition of our identities. We simply are. And I think at the root of it, my ideal reality is to be able to just, like, be able to casually mention that I'm in a relationship with someone of the same gender, or I'm friends with people who have different sexual orientations, and that is not a very important speaking topic. I just want it to be very casual and just part of my identity, just as heterosexual, just as any identity is within, I guess, society, that we can all kind of coexist and go about our daily lives.
I liked it when you said that we need to aim to be more casual about these things, that it should be taken for granted already. Like, if a straight couple said, oh, you know, this is my wife, I'm the husband, people don't really make a fuss out of it. But when, if I say I have a male partner, people are like, okay, you know, they get a little bit weird about it. So I'm like, yeah, it should be taken for granted by now. Like, people should just don't care about it. Like, you know, like, why should it be a big deal, or like even a topic of conversation?
Thank you for joining us today. At the end of the day, we all think, you know, if we can have casual conversations about our relationships, about who we are, not necessarily mentioning about romantic relationships. And it is just all being a normal human, and how do we break this stigmatize? It is very important. Thank you for the conversation, Hui and Cameron.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to The Voices of Us, a podcast produced by R.3, a not-for-profit organization dedicated to building a meaningfully connected community for queer international students, alumni, and allies. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for more stories. We will see you next time. This episode is supported by the State Government, City of Melbourne Libraries, and the 3CR Community Radio.